Open your Bibles with me to the book of John. John chapter 14, verse 27. We're going to be over there in a bit. I wondered how many of you recognize this Christmas hymn. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote that. You know, there's a lot of our hymns that we are not that familiar with. Maybe we recognize them, but we don't really know the background. And sometimes it's the background that mean more, maybe, make the hymn itself mean more. And this is one of those cases. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. The first line that he wrote went just like this. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Longfellow wrote this. This actually was not a song originally. He was a poet. He wrote this poem. He writes it at a very unusual time. He writes it on Christmas Day, 1863. You know, that date. You know that that's right smack dab in the middle of the Civil War. In fact, he writes it within 6 months of the battles of Vicksburg and of Gettysburg. His own son, Mr. Longfellow's son by the name of Charlie, is recovering from gunshot wounds he received at another battle, the Battle of Long Church, I think it was called. And, New Hope Church, the Battle of New Hope Church, Charlie. And so he writes this in a day, in an age in which there was absolutely, peace was about as far as you could possibly imagine. So it's sort of weird when you read this line. Not so weird when you read the next line, though, that he writes. If you're familiar with the carol or with the song, this is the third line in the song. And in despair he said, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Can you feel his pain? A little bit. You know, it's 150 years, more or less, later since the writing of that poem and that song. And yet, we'd have to say with him, you know, it seems that peace, if anything, is a mocked thing. Peace on earth. Where is peace on earth? I mean, we've got just a little over a week ago, we have a crazy guy with a gun that goes in and shoots 26 people, 20 of those children, ages 6 and 7. I mean, is there really peace? Is there such a thing as peace? In the world that we live in, I think it's more like what Jeremiah, the prophet in the Old Testament, cried. He said, they cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. It seems that that is true, does it not? It really does. Our soldiers in Afghanistan and other places, someone wrote what really the concept of peace is today. This is what he said. I think it's pretty good. He says, peace is that quiet interlude that comes while everyone is reloading, he said. And that really is. I mean, you know, okay, there's no war happening right now, which isn't true. But if there was, we're just reloading. That's all we're doing. 5,000 years of human history, 15,000 wars during that time. 15,000. You know, in the back in the 1800s, 1700s, the mantra simply was, if we could only educate the masses, they say. Education is the answer. It's ignorance. It's people with no education that are following these crazy madmen. And if we could just educate them, then there's going to be peace on earth. There's going to be peace among people as soon as they know how things work. Well, then along comes the 20th century, of course, and we have what was called the war to end all wars. Remember that one? It turned out to be called later the First World War because 20 years later we had a second one. The war to end all wars only started one about 22 years later. Yeah, the First and Second World Wars, the largest scale wars, involved more armies, involved more nations, killed more people than we had ever killed, and it was among the most educated countries that had ever existed up until that point. So education, guys, didn't work, did it? And it's not ever going to work. Education is not the issue. We are not very good at living at peace with each other, are we, in this world? We are not. And it seems, you know, one of the craziest laws out there is the law called disturbing the peace. How do you disturb something you don't have? Can't disturb. We don't have peace, guys. We don't even know what it is. Our world doesn't have it. And it's sort of, it really truly is a crazy law. And the problem with it, the problem with peace in the world, or begin one of the problems with the peace, is that we think we can legislate it. More laws, more guns, ban guns, more law enforcement, bigger armies, bigger weapons, somehow or another, that this is going to bring about peace. And we fail to realize that the problem with peace is here. the hearts of men. It's in the hearts of men. It's just exactly like the Bible described it. You can't legislate it. The Bible says the problem with humanity is sin. We're sinners. That's why we fight each other. We're sinners. That's the reason why we're at war. That's the reason why we hate. That's the reason why we kill. Because we're sinners. And I want you to hear what James has to say on this very subject. James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. What is the source of quarrels, he says, and conflicts among us? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war? In other words, the battle starts here. He goes on in verse 2. He says, you lust and you do not have. You commit murder and you are envious and cannot obtain. You fight and quarrel and you do not have because you do not ask. The struggle is inside of us. That's where the problem is. You can't legislate the heart. You've got to change the heart if you want to change the peace and the circumstances that we live in. Why don't we have peace? Because we don't have peace in here. Peace is not inside of us, so it can't be, obviously, can't be outside of us. But people in government spend countless millions of dollars every single year in the pursuit of peace, and we're no closer than we've ever been. Here's the issue, bottom line. Peace cannot be taught. Peace cannot be educated. Peace cannot be enforced. Peace cannot be bought. Peace can only be received. And we're going to be looking at how can you receive peace today? How can we have the peace that we really want? And I ask you to turn with me to a place here in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 27. Peace comes from the one who owns it. See, that's a problem. The reason why we don't have peace, we're not going to the one who owns peace. And he's going to write, he's going to speak to us here, right here in verse 27. Jesus speaking, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace, he says, I give to you. He's the only one that has it. No one else does. My peace I give to you, he says. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Let's read that one more time. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Why can't the world give? Because you can't give what you don't have. They don't have it. My peace, he says, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be fearful. The world doesn't have peace to give away. The world that we live in is like a plane spiraling down. I mean, it's in free fall. I mean, if we were all on a plane right now and it was in free fall, headed on its way down to a crashing on the earth, would we have peace? No, that's the reason why the world doesn't have peace. It's crashing, guys. It's falling out of the sky. It's coming apart. And you can reenact laws, and you can have more law enforcement, more guns, less guns. You can do all that stuff. But the bottom line is the thing is going down. There is no peace in that. There's no peace. The only chance you could possibly have is somehow not be on the plane. But we're on it. And there's nothing you can do about it. The peace that God gives is peace, if you will, despite the plane crash. In the midst of it all. Peace that despite the circumstances. And that's what it says here in Philippians. And the peace of God which transcends all understanding. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up because it doesn't come the way mankind wanted to come. We say peace means that we're not going to fight each other anymore. No, peace means changes in here. It transcends understanding. It says, well, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The best illustration I can think of the peace that transcends understanding is this picture. Some of you probably no doubt seen it before. And I'm not sure if you can make it out. It's not very clear coming through. But you may have seen a poster that had this on it. It's actually the bottom part of a lighthouse off the coast of France. And all around it is this crashing enormous. It was taken in the wintertime, this enormous winter storm that was hitting the coast of France. And this is a lighthouse. Can you see the door right there? See the lightkeeper? He's standing in the midst of that door, in the midst of all that wave just crashing. That was really just an amazing picture. In fact, the only place I've ever seen this at the bottom, it just read simply, peace. That's the kind of peace that God offers us. He doesn't pull us out of the storm, but he makes it as if there is no storm because he gives us peace on the inside. He enables us to live in the midst of horrible circumstances and yet still have peace. That's the kind of peace that God offers you. Don't you want that kind of peace? Aren't you interested in that kind of peace? You know, we read earlier, the ladies read earlier, the verse out of Isaiah where it speaks of Jesus, and one of the titles it gives him is the Prince of Peace. You know, he deserves that title. He owns peace. It's his peace. He rules, if you will, the country of peace. So if you want peace, you got to go to him. You absolutely got to go to him. The answer, again, is our nation is saying, oh, we got to do this and we got to do that, and this is where we're going to have peace. No, the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. He rules the country called peace. He owns peace. We're going to see in just a minute. He is peace. We're going to see that in just a second. But let's consider, first of all, just why he deserves the title of the Prince of Peace, if for no other reason just written in the Scriptures. But just consider a couple of things out of Jesus' history, just some stories I think you'll be familiar with. Recall a storm that he and his disciples were in on the Sea of Galilee. Recall that storm? Remember, even the old salts on the boat, the old guys who had been raised on the Sea of Galilee, they were absolutely, totally distraught. They were panic-stricken because they were thinking, this is it. They'd never seen a storm like this. This is what happens. This is the story that goes before and he died type of scenario. They were confident that they were going to die. And so, by the way, where was Jesus in that whole circumstance? Was he wringing his hands? He was asleep in the back of the boat, right? So the same storm that threw them into a panic was the same storm that sent Jesus into the really tired. Now that's peace, guys. That's peace. The storm, I mean, yes, he stopped the storm, but the storm still came, but it sent him into sleep while it sent his disciples into absolute panic. Another story that I can think of that happened not very far from there was a situation where Jesus was confronted with an opportunity to feed 5,000, if you recall. Actually, it wasn't 5,000. 5,000 men. You had women and children, you're looking at maybe 10, 15,000. What did he have to feed them? Remember? Two fishes, five loaves of bread. Then he cry out to God and say, oh God, you've got to help us here. We're in bad shape. This is terrible. We don't know how this is going to go. What did he do? He said he prayed a simple prayer, began to break the loaves and fishes, handed out to the disciples, picked up 12 basketfuls. 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Was he wringing his hands? Ladies, let me ask you something. This Christmas, you're having people over for dinner. Lo and behold, two extra people show up. Is that going to bother you? Yeah, you'll probably think, oh, do we have enough? Should we go get some more turkey? Should we go buy some more ham? Do we have enough tea? Right? Do we have enough mashed potatoes? Two people, right, can get you a little bit anxious, can't they? Try 15,000. Didn't bother him a bit. Now, don't you want that kind of peace? Well, that's the kind of peace he offers you. That's the kind of peace that comes through God's Son, Jesus Christ. In order to have that peace, here I'm going to give you three things this morning. In order to have that peace, number one, most importantly, and if you pass this one, the other ones won't matter. Number one, most importantly, in order for us to have this peace, in order to have the kind of peace that God offers, my peace, he says, I give to you, the only peace there is, you must accept his offer of peace. You have to accept God's terms. God's terms of peace are very specific, and if you don't accept God's terms of peace, you're not going to have peace. It only makes sense. The Bible says that because of our sin, every single human being is at war with God. Now, how crazy is that? Who would fight God, right? Well, people do all the time. When we don't keep his rules, we don't keep his laws, the Bible says that we are his enemies. You'd like to be the enemy of God? How's that going to go well? It's not going to go well for you, is it? Enemies of God, it says. So as sinners, we're enemies of God. And how are you going to have peace if the one who owns the peace you're at war with? See, that's our problem. Our problem with our world is that we're at war with God. Oh, yeah, we're killing each other and we're having all kinds of battles. But the bottom line is, guys, the problem is in here. We're at war with him. And until we cease the war with him, there can be no peace. It's a crazy notion. Absolutely crazy. Only with God, only when we come to peace, the terms of peace that God offers us. And I hear people all the time say, oh, well, I'm going to make my peace with God. Really? Are you that crazy arrogant? You're so arrogant that you're going to make your peace with the creator of the universe? Really? Is that how it's going to go? It's not going to go that well. Really not. No, God offers you his terms. You meet his terms. You want his peace? You meet his terms of peace, and his peace, listen, is very simple. His peace is his Son, Jesus Christ. Those are his terms. You must accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You must accept God's Son and what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago as your only way to heaven, your only way to God, your only way that you can be forgiven. You've got to stop trying to be a religious person. Stop trying to be a good person in order to cover up your sin. Stop trying to do all these things that somehow is going to make you right with God. And those are your terms. He's not going to accept your terms. And accept God's terms of peace. God's terms of peace are his son, Jesus Christ. Let's consider a couple of verses. First of all, from the Old Testament, book of Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says, but he, speaking of Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was slain because of what you and I did. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment, notice, that brought us peace was upon Him. There's a punishment that peace comes through, and He took that punishment for you so that we could have that peace. Jesus is God's terms for peace. And by His wounds, it says, we are healed. And then again, in the New Testament now, Colossians chapter 1. For it was God's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell upon Him, speaking of Christ, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, through God, God through His Son Jesus is reconciling the world to Himself, it says, having made peace through the blood of His cross. It required death, the death of God's Son, to purchase peace for you and I. That's God's terms. Will you accept them? Have you accepted them? Oh, I know Jesus died on the cross. Let me tell you something. It's not good enough for you to know that. I guarantee you hell's going to be totally full of people that know that Jesus died for their sins. But it's not good enough for them. You have to personally apply these terms. Accept the terms. My only way to heaven is God's Son and what He did on the cross. Accept that. Have you done that? Have you had a personal experience with the Son of God in which you've accepted what He did for you on the cross? If you have not, you're not at peace. That is God's terms of peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 puts it very simply. For He Himself is our peace. Not just the Prince of Peace. He doesn't just own peace. He doesn't just have peace to give away. He is peace. So you're planning to have peace without Him? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Never will. Never has. Peace only through Him. So first of all, we must accept God's terms for peace. God's terms is His Son, Jesus Christ. You can't have peace without the Prince of Peace. It makes absolutely no sense. You can't have peace without the Prince. The second thing that we've got to do, you may say, well, I have accepted those terms. I know Christ is personal Savior. I hope that's true about you. I really do. But I still don't feel peace. There's something, I'm lacking peace. I mean, I'm supposed to have this peace. Where is it? Where's the feeling of it? Okay, I read it in the Scriptures, and I believe the Scriptures that I have peace through God's Son, Jesus, but I'm not feeling it today. Well, we need to deal with your feeler today. Let's deal with that. In order to experience the peace that God has us on a continual basis, we need to think on the right things. You need to think correctly. I guarantee you that one of the reasons why, Christian, you don't have peace right now is because your mind is focused on stuff that isn't peaceful. Stuff that isn't good for you. And the Bible says this very clearly. Notice what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Whatever is true, Paul says to the Philippian church. Whatever is noble. Whatever is right. Whatever is pure. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, he says, think about such things. I guarantee you, if you're in turmoil right now, it's because of the stuff you're thinking about. I guarantee it. You look at our world today, and when you read the newspapers, you read the internet. I mean, if you want, here's very simply, let's translate this into modern terms. By the way, I didn't read it all. Let's read it all. Whatever you have learned and received, you heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the peace of God will be with you, it says. One of our main problems is that we pay a whole lot of attention, more attention to news, whole lot more attention to the internet, a whole lot more attention to stuff that we see than we do to the words of God and the things of God. Well, I mean, what's the equation? Which is more in your life? And then you're coming to me and saying, I have no peace. It's not rocket science, guys. I'm not saying you shouldn't be informed. You got to watch the news. You got to go in. But don't let it be everything. Everything needs to be the Scriptures. Notice what he says there. Whatever's good, admirable, pure. I mean, are you finding that on the internet? Are you finding that on the nightly news? No, I'm not saying don't watch it. I'm just saying it can't be your main course. If it is, you're going to lack peace, the feeling of it. You're going to lack it. You're going to feel like that guy standing on the wrong side of that lighthouse, if you will. It's going to be breaking right over you. It's going to be tough. Whatever these things are, and by the way, the summation of all these things is God. Think about it. The more you know how much God's in charge, the more you know how faithful God is, the better you know Him, the more you know how much He loves you, the more you know that He's got this thing. He's got it. He can handle it. He created you and created the whole universe. The more you know that, listen, the more you're going to experience peace. So you've got to think correctly. You got to think correctly. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament, one of my favorite stories that just speaks volumes to me about this whole issue of peace, is the story of Peter in the book of Acts when he was captured by Herod. Remember the story? He's captured by Herod. He's sentenced to death. They're going to be carrying out the death sentence in the morning. And if you remember the story, an angel comes and wakes him up and leads him out through the gates, leads him through the city, if you remember the story, and he leads him to the disciples' home, and they don't even believe it's Peter. They think it's his ghost or something like that, and then they realize it's actually Peter, and he's released, and he continues on in ministry for years and years. Remember the story? You know, the most amazing part of the story that we forget about is that they had to wake him up. You know, the Greek literally says that the angel had to strike him to wake him up. Now, let me ask you this. Who sleeps on the night before their execution? Who does? Persons at peace. A person that knows that God has got this thing. Either way, in Peter's rationale, and this is my opinion, but I think it's pretty accurate. Either way, Peter says, God's got it. Tomorrow I die, I go to heaven. Or tonight I'm delivered by some angel. Either way, God's got it. Either way, I'm fine. And so he's completely sacked out. He's completely passed out the night before his execution. Angel has to literally kick him to get him up. That's peace, guys. That's peace. That's a guy who knew where to put his mind, knew what to focus on, didn't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, just absolutely focused himself on how big God was, and as a result, he experienced the peace that God has for us. So it starts, first of all, after we've accepted the terms of peace, it starts with thinking right, and then number two, and finally, it starts by doing what's right. By doing what's right. Here's a very simple verse. There's a lot of places we could have gone for this, but I think this one just says it maybe plainer than anything else. Psalm 85, verse 10. Righteousness, it says, and peace kiss each other. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Sort of an old way of saying, if you will, righteousness and peace go hand in hand. They're best friends. You find one, you find the other, don't you? You lose one, you lose both. It becomes mutually exclusive. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. You know, there's nothing, hardly anything in this world like doing what's right, doing what you know you're supposed to do, doing what you know God wants you to do. There's nothing like doing what's right that'll give you peace. You know, there is no sleep like the sleep of the innocent, isn't there? I go to bed at night and saying, you know what? I believe all that I think God wanted me to do today. Can you say that? Oh, well, I got a whole lot going on. I'm doing a lot of stuff I shouldn't do. And you're wondering why you don't have peace? Like I said, this is not rocket science, guys. It's real simple. God has terms. You meet those terms. You receive His peace. It's real simple. Well, I go out and live the way I want to do the stuff that I want to do, even though I know God doesn't want me to do, and then I want God to hand me a bunch of peace. Please, really? You know better than that. It's amazing the kind of peace that comes when we do the right things. When you do what you're supposed to do, when you go the way you're supposed to go, there's automatic peace. You're amazed at certain people that they're constantly living in peace. Look at their lives. I guarantee you that person is living this way. Righteousness and peace are hand in hand. They're kissing each other in their lives. They're living that way. Like I said, there's no big secret to this. It's real simple. Think what's right, do what's right, and you'll experience the peace that God has for you. But it starts, guys, with accepting God's terms of peace. Have you accepted God's terms of peace? We're in the Christmas season where Christ child comes and is born a baby, but he didn't come to remain a baby. He came to become a man. And as a man, fully human and fully God, to lay down his life for you. God died for you on a cross. Have you accepted what he did? Do you not realize what the slap in the face it is to God if Jesus has done all this for you and you personally have not received him? I have some other way I'm going to get to heaven. I'm not going to be a good person. I'm going to be a religious person. That's how I'm going to get to heaven. You're slapping him in the face. And I guarantee you, you won't have peace. I ask you, if you would, please stand with me, bow your heads, and close your eyes as we enter into a time of invitation. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to ask you again, have you accepted God's terms of peace? There is no peace, it says, for the wicked. And that's what we all are. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. That's the reason why this world is the mess that it's in, because we're sinners, because it starts in our hearts. So we have to do something with that sin. We have to do something with this war that we are in against God. We can't have peace any other way. And God has set up a single term of peace, and that's His Son, Jesus Christ. Have you accepted, have you had a personal encounter with the Son of God in which you've asked Him, allowed Him to be your Savior? Have you said to Him, Lord, I want You to be my Savior? If you haven't, would you say that right now to Him? I want You to be my Savior. I want you to forgive my sins. I accept Your terms of peace, Your blood that pays for sin. I accept those terms right now. I throw away everything else. All my terms I throw out. And I accept Your terms of peace. I accept You, Prince of Peace, as my Savior. And then, Christian, are you thinking right? Are you acting right? God's peace, it's not rocket science. It's real simple. We got to do the right things. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You give us a second chance. I thank You for the chance that we have here today. I thank You for the person who's hearing my voice and hearing the message, this very old good news message, that a person can be made right with God by accepting God's Son, Jesus Christ, His terms of peace. I thank You for that privilege to be able to preach that. I thank You for the country that I live in and for this church that believes that wholeheartedly. Lord, I pray for that person. I pray that right now, God, that You would change them, that they right now would turn their life over to You. Let You save them. Let You rescue them from their sin. Let You end the war that's between You and them. Lord, I pray for the rest of us that already know those terms. I pray that we'd walk on those terms today. Help us, God, to remember that we can't keep feeding our minds full of stuff that is not peaceful and expect peace. We can't keep living in a way that disagrees with You and expect peace. Lord, I pray that this time that we think and we preach and we sing about the Prince of Peace, I pray that we would have peace in our lives. Thank You so much, God, for speaking to us. It's in Your name that we pray. Amen. I'm going to be standing here. I'd love to pray with you, speak with you. God's touching your life in some special way. The altar's open for prayer. The ladies are going to be leading us in a hymn. You come as God is leading you.